Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, cooling out the head. It's such a hot, reactive field out there for all of us. So, I'm welcoming the return of our ally, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, to help us cool out the head with everything we can think of, blessings, herbs, everything, and bringing up our own, you know, anything, anywhere is everywhere. You know, tyranny in the micro realms of our family, of hot reactivity on the road. You know, I was driving and somebody, you know, passed me on the right where there was no lane, and I honked. And then for a moment, I wanted to follow them. And it's like, you know, in small and large ways. I mean, the horror is so great. That, you know, again, the family, the road, the Congress, fist fights, all of that. So we want to engage our imagination in many ways so that we can be cooled out. Remember, the word cool, popularized by jazz musicians in the 40s, you know, is a Yoruba word, kulukulu, and it means completely responsible. It's a Saturn thing. And they said in Yoruba, you know, as in English, the word cool means temperature. So they said, you know, language is magic. So to be cool, imagine our heads as cool. Just even everybody right now, you know, just cool, head as cool temperature, pushing all the heat in the head down to the heart, which is where it belongs, right? So cool head, warm heart, opposite of road rage, opposite of reactivity, which is hot head, cold heart. And we see it everywhere, right? We see it, you know, somebody insults somebody and then 10 people beat them up and I posted a possibly ill-advised thing. It can happen. It was a video of a crow taking down an Israeli flag, and it was like, huh, well. And it's like, no, I got messages saying, sorry, you were subject to such vitriolic abuse. And it's like, I haven't read that yet. Possibly ill-advised, but, you know, all flags, you know, I just, all flags, it was, so here we are. So I thought we would begin with a strong, long statement of Ian Presley, which is strong and measured and dressing, and to listen to this, to be with her, to cool on out. So here's Representative Ayanna Presley from Massachusetts, dreeing her weird, playing her role in destiny, and here's a long clip of her.
As someone who was raised in a small storefront church on the south side of Chicago, may my grandfather, the Reverend James E. Eccles, who's now an ancestor, rest in peace and power. Whenever I felt burdened, my grandfather would sing a song we very often sang in church. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy has not come. Joy has not come because my heart is heavy with grief. It grieves for the 1,200 Israeli civilians who were heinously murdered by Hamas on October 7th. It grieves for the 240 hostages still held by Hamas and their families. And it grieves for the over 11,000 Palestinian civilians killed by the Israeli military in the weeks since, nearly half of whom are children. Joy has not come in the morning because the loss of life we have seen in a mere 5 weeks is overwhelming, devastating, incomprehensible. Entire generations of Palestinian families erased entirely. Again, vengeance is not a foreign policy doctrine. Hospitals bombed, electricity shut off, food, fuel, and medicine dwindling, clean drinking water essentially non-existent. I stood at this podium 3 weeks ago to mourn the 1,100 Palestinian children killed by Israeli bombs. Today, that number is nearly five times higher. children. I am haunted by the words and the images of the Palestinian children in Gaza who convened their own press conference in English so that you would not misunderstand their desperate appeals to live. They said, "We want to live. We want peace." It has been children in this society, and what a damning commentary that our children are always having to make appeals for their lives, from March for Our Lives, to the children of Tigray, to the children of Soweto, to the children of Gaza, pleading for mercy and to live. There is no justification for the collective punishment of the Palestinian people, from their elders to their babies. As people of faith, we believe that we are all God's children, Palestinian, Israeli, Americans alike. Regardless of our religion or nation of birth, we are one human family, and we have a moral obligation to be our brothers and our sisters' keeper, a collective righteous mandate to save lives. And the mandate is clear. Ceasefire now. We are not alone, and we are not afraid. Millions across the globe have echoed our calls for an end to the bloodshed, from the United Nations and the Pope, to the President of France and healthcare workers in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which I represent. This is a movement that is pro-peace, pro-faith, and pro-humanity. Yeah. And this movement is growing every day. Last month, I sat with the families of hostages who spoke of deep love and grief, and they made it clear that they didn't want vengeance. They just want their loved ones safely home. Ceasefire now. Every action taken by policymakers in this moment should be in pursuit of peace, not an escalation of violence and bloodshed. The United States cannot allow the Israeli government to commit war crimes, to violate international law, and to operate with callous disregard for human life. Children are dying, families are crying out for survival, and our shared humanity is in danger. A ceasefire is the mandate, and we must respond accordingly.
Yes. Whew. Well, that's strong and puts on the table. I think that's Representative Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts. And we go, right, referencing the Palestinian Children's Press Conference. We want to live. We want to live. There's so much, we are humbled by the horror and the frustration. Again, we're here to cool out our heads so that we can be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. But we need each other for this dynamic because it is so hot and guidelines. So we want to call in. But as Ayanna Pressley puts forth, you know, vengeance is not a foreign policy. And children under threat all over the world. What a species, what a rogue species. From March to Our Lives, you know, to all the children. And we know, and as she says, and I think we do say, no matter what, there is no justification for this horror, this carnage, this, you know, destruction of so many good people in the hospitals in Gaza. Like, whew, okay, so we're here to do what we can, right? And I think my friend Sean will be joining us, possibly.
Yeah.
You are. Oh, that's good.
I am here.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, very wonderful. Then everything's going well. So I am inviting you to cool us out, or to invite in that which can, and then just put on the work table that the only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. Whew. And we want to propose some images to visualize all meant as an offering, everybody, all listening participants, not an imposition. So it's like, try this, and if you don't like that image, then here's something else. So, Sean, we were talking about cooling out, and then I do want to put on the table where I need cooling out at some point. But do you want to bring in, we spoke of whatever you want, and our cool head and our warm heart, but the plants, and we want to waft this into the atmosphere, the incredibly hot reactive atmosphere. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And before the plants, poetry wants to come. As I was listening to Ayanna Pressley and hearing her speak of joy comes in the morning, but the joy does not come, I was brought back again to the words that were coming back to me last night that Denise Levertov wrote during the Vietnam War. And after at the end of a harrowing poem where she speaks quite viscerally of the horrors humans are visiting on other humans, she writes, "This is the knowledge that jostles for space in our bodies, along with all we go on knowing of joy, of love. Our nerve filaments twitch in its presence day and night. Nothing we say has not the husky phlegm of it in the saying. Nothing we do has the quickness, the sureness, the deep intelligence living at peace would have."
Everybody.
And one of the cruel paradoxes of times like these is these are the times when that cool, that clarity, that intelligence are most required, but can also be hardest for us to access. And I was thinking about how, at a physiological level, when our bodies feel under threat, we go into a highly reactive place where we get triggered into inflammatory responses very, very swiftly, and then never come fully back down from them. And I think that we also experience the spiritual equivalent, and there are neurochemical things that actually make these one and the same, including that molecules like histamine that are part of our physiological inflammation also inflame our minds, also make us more reactive. And yet we have so many beautiful allies available to us, and I think especially always of our plantkin. And I've always loved your turn of phrase about kinship receptors. And we do have kinship receptors as a biological reality. And among those are cells in the amygdala that when we breathe in the scent of any living plant, we receive the message that we are no longer alone, and we engage our parasympathetic response, which stops our reactivity and broadens and opens our awareness. So in Europe, there's tradition, in France and Germany, of having meetings under the linden tree when the linden tree is in bloom, because breathing in the scent of the linden would calm everyone and cool everyone down and bring people out of that reactive state so that everyone could be more authentically responsive to each other. And so the Linden Tree was at the center of every community council in a profound sense. And then we go ahead.
Oh, just a quirky interjection, and then I hand it back to you. But apparently Magnolia inspires aggression and fighting. And a friend was listening going, oh, think of the Southern Confederate generals. Sir. Anyway, I just wanted to put that in as a quippy thing over there. And so we put the magnolia to one side and back to you with the linden. And just as Sean is invoking and naming these plants, these allies for which we have receptors, let's all of us, you know, imagine again, spiraling out into collective mind dream, these cool out plant allies. Yeah, so back to you, Sean.
And then, yes, we have all these other beautiful plants whose exhalations we're breathing in. I did not know that about magnolia. I will have to do a deep dive into the chemistry.
Yeah.
Because generally the one time that kind of quirky chemistry happens is when a plant smells more like an animal than it does like other plants. So I don't know what that may or may not be in the chemistry of magnolia.
Well,
but
we examine everything, that nothing degrade into superstition or dogma. So we will explore that. It's just a quip.
Yes. I think about rose and the way that rose, when we breathe in its scent, immediately welcomes us to begin to soften and to begin to open to beauty. I think about pine and how in indigenous traditions of New England and the Northeast, pine is understood widely as a plant whose presence brings calm and peace as we breathe in its scent and as we hear the wind blowing through its branches. And on the other side of the North Atlantic, the Scots call the pine Clairshach Nacran, harp of the trees, because of the soothing music of the wind blowing through the pine. And all the way back in the old Oum alphabet, it is connected with the ah sound, the sound of first breath, and the sound of last breath, and the sound of every breath in between. So we become welcomed breathing in and breathing with the plants into that calmness. And then I think of, in the South Pacific, we have the rite of beginning every meeting with the drinking of kava in order to relax the tension in the body. And when we relax the tension in the body, we are allowing the blood flow to travel throughout us, so we're no longer concentrating everything upward and no longer closing ourselves off and no longer in a position of rigidity, and instead in a place where we can feel with our entire bodies the presence of everyone and everything around us. And from that place, it's much more difficult to go into reactivity and much easier to be in responsiveness. And
so
then
but just as you go, just so we have a to and fro tied, so
yes,
invoking kava, and then are you, shall we see and wish, you know, a cup of kava for all for whom it would be beneficial, just everywhere,
yes,
out there. Yes. Okay. That's really
good. Yeah.
And just, you know, I'll hand it back to you momentarily, but a little to and fro. But I do follow some wonderful wonderful people. Excuse me, and it's very moving. In Gaza, wizard underscore Bisan, and so much reporting on the hospital and the thing, and the, but today they're making falafel. And she has a joyful thing, and it's the fire and the, you know, flour and water, and everyone's inhaling. And they go, this is the best falafel ever, just, and the spices and the reassuring. And so I just wanted to bring that up, that if they are not, are taking time for falafel and to inhale it, and as you're sending them a cup of kava, then surely we can just cool out, right? So,
yeah.
But I love the making of the falafel, going, all right, in spite of everything, you know, beauty and what beauty and comfort and herbs and spices and hot pepper there be.
Mmm, that's so beautiful. And yes, those hot flavors don't necessarily heat things up. In fact, they can wait. They wake us up. They bring the blood flowing throughout our bodies, and so they bring us into greater awareness. So it's such a beautiful thing. And the oldest of rituals among humans, and indeed among other species as well, is the sharing of food with community, with family, with kin. And so what do we put out upon the table to welcome all in order to come and eat and be nourished together? And in that place of being nourished and being open, we can begin engaging in the conversation, and from a place where we will have clearer vision. I had to admit to someone today who was challenging me about ceasefire, about, well, if bombing en masse isn't an acceptable military tactic, and invasion and occupation of a city aren't acceptable military tactics, and people believe that they are defending themselves and that they need a military response to defend themselves, what's your alternative? And I had to admit, I don't know. I don't have the solution. I don't have a 10-point plan or a 20-point plan or a 1-point plan. Well, except that I guess my 1-point plan is we can know that killing children and killing elders and killing entire families is never acceptable, and that we don't have to know what to do instead in order to say no to that.
But we can proffer some images and blessings, but I have, at your suggestion, some lemon balm right beside me. Yes. Right, again, pick a plant and have it. I'm still got it growing outside because it's 70 degrees in Washington. So even my neighbor's rose bushes, some of them still have their fragrance, and they're the only roses I know all summer that have fragrance. So it's the terrible and the beautiful. It's like, so I have the lemon balm right here. And then just because we do have the sun and Mars, it's what's called Kasimi. They're so close together. They're fused, and this liberation of Mars. And I just wanted to bring up the new moon behind us that we're all kind of working on in a way. But the image for the new moon is deserter from the army because his heart no longer can tolerate harm or cruelty, right? And you've always often brought this up. And it's like, this is an image, you know, for just everyone, all military, all harm, you know, that each person's heart will no longer tolerate complicity and harm or cruelty as a strong blessing to waft out with the kava and the rose and the other thing, the lemon balm as well, and the etiquette, you know, of right, that salam shalom is not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of oneness. It's like everyone, the community of the grieving, across all borders, you know, absolutely to, you know, as Ayanna Pressley does, as everybody does, going, of course, you know, we share grief of the 1,200 Israeli, many, many beautiful people who were slaughtered. And the 260 hostages, we can imagine, like, on the 11,000 plus, you know, Palestinians, and those also under assault on the West Bank, and the 4,500 children, all of that. But the kinship to bring us to our knees, that it be the community of kinship, and we'll to and fro, we can unfurl. But again, to see that, like, how should we see that when your friend says, you know, what are you going to do about Hamas? And there's Hillary Clinton going, you don't understand Hamas if you want to call a ceasefire. And it's like, I remember that Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. It's the sociopathic heart disguised as realism. I loved her when she was writing a detective novel with Louise Benny. Do that, right? But this is the part of her that suggested that Obama might be killed before the election. I'm like, bad witch. That, you know, killed Gaddafi and cackled, and it's like, no. And it's like, go to the cool out realm, you know, where we want to see, you know, that we want to wish cool out to them, right? Too, right?
Right.
Nothing more dangerous than a witch that doesn't know she's a witch. And it's like, you go feel. So our blessing, you know, are we wishing Sean and everybody here, you know, a blessing of rose, of kinship, of, you know, to dissolve the polarity, that the real betrayal is Hamas and the Israeli government, who are complicitous, right? I just keep saying that this is just a fact on the table, that the Israeli state created Hamas. And Bibi's talked about this, you know, publicly for a long time and quite recently. Isn't it clever? We have the Palestinians, Hamas versus the Palestinian Authority. Isn't that great? You know, it's like, and funding until about a minute ago, right? So tyranny for all of us, it's the betrayal of tyranny, and to find the kinship underneath that the betrayal, and, you know, and then some other things that may or may not get us into trouble. But we will play with those. We're going to take our little short usual musical break in a minute-ish, you know, but to think of our plants, perhaps, about, because I think part of the horror is like, how can we not stop this? You know, our apparent ineffectiveness in the face of tyranny, like, ooh, and that's what makes people want to blow themselves up. And perhaps you can cool us out. You have a minute to start, and then we do a break, and then you have the rest of the thing to do it. Plants to help us address tyranny. Part one.
Ooh. I would say calamus, which clears away what clouds the vision and clears away what obstructs the true voice that speaks from the heart.
Okay. So a dose of calamus in everybody's kava. That's really good. So my ally here to help me and all of us cool out is Sean Patrick O'Donohue. You have to say your website and also your upcoming course on Sunday.
Yeah. Otherworldwell.com. And yes, thank you. Sunday night we'll be delving into plants for cooling the head in my online course.
We're going to come right back to that after our very short musical break. Here we go. She shook the constellation.
and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his torus cry.
Get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, seeking for myself and all beings cooling out our hot reactivity, that we may be responsive. To help us do that is a longtime ally, Sean Patrick O'Donohue. His website is otherworldwell.com. And, you know, we were talking last night, and I said, oh, yes, cooling the head, and you're preparing your Sunday class. And I want to do a little shout-out, Sean, as a Sunday night class that is very wonderful and rich and very lively chat on just these sorts of things. You know, and you say in the intro, where there's chaos and grief and pain and anger loose in the world, they show up in our own lives too. Yes, right, everything. Right, and you were saying, just even look at the lowest level of pathetic dementors in Congress going, I'm going to fight you, I'm going to fight you. There's that, right?
Right, right.
What do you want to waft over Congress? Like, children, just settle down. The guy, I can't even remember the guy from Oklahoma who wanted to punch out the union guy. It's like the,
Mark Wayne Mullen, the former mixed martial arts fighter. Yeah. And, And so when I think about what's needed for the people in those kinds of positions, I think about reishi, which is this beautiful conch mushroom that grows on dead and dying trees. It's spreading its mycelium out through their wood, which holds the memory of their experience, to metabolize all of their memory and transmute it into this fruiting body that sends golden spores out drifting on the wind. So it helps us to metabolize what we've been holding, but at the same time, it also soothes and modulates our inflammatory response. So it doesn't suppress it. If we suppress that response, then we are in danger of not being able to respond quickly when things require quick response. But when we modulate it, then we're able to ground it and center it and bring it back down to appropriate responsiveness. And so I feel like Reishi and Rose pair so beautifully together, and I think are very, very much needed in Congress.
Right, and I want to bring up things so that you can talk us down or in, you know, because as we were speaking last night, you know, the hot reactivity around the attack on Al-Shifa Hospital, justified as, you know, oh, there's Hamas things down below, and we have proof, but we're not going to show you, says the Israeli military. And for me, it's like, you know, and people say, why are they such good liars? And it's like, practice. So I read that and the videos and the messages coming out of Al-Shifa Hospital going, oh, and the babies in the incubator dying and the 37 people on dialysis dying. And it's like, you know, and so that is, you know, we want to know everything, you know, and as we'd said, you know, it's again about the ceasefire. We know that, you know, Hamas says, oh, this is exactly the reaction we were planning and intending from Israel. This is very good. They don't care about the right. sacrifice of life. This is very good. So this cruelty, you know, literally, metaphorically, historically recruits for Hamas and terrorism. It makes everyone less safe, right? And again, for, right. for the many, many beautiful, beautiful Israeli allies and the many, you know, difficult people under assignment over there. I mean, everything, you know, going, we want safety for everyone and the hostages, right? And our allies, right. you know, as you brought up, as we're bringing up, the hostage family saying, you know, not all but most, you know, saying, no, one, our beloved would not want this, but two, they're in danger. And there is a negotiation now, you know, of, you know, women and children. Hamas has offered for a 3-day ceasefire, waiting for the Israel response. And we go, okay. And I think I might bring up just the little teensy visualization that I mentioned to you into the Dream Council. Do you think that's an okay thing, or why not? Is that good with you, Sean? Okay.
So, it is, yes.
Humbled by the horror. I mean, you know, where do we outsource our Saturn? And I realize that to speak of Biden in any collaborative way in this hot field is to attract, you know, progressive scorn. And so I have to not cringe in the face of imagined and or real going, because it's like, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. Like, well, how could this be? So Biden's birthday's coming up. And President Xi's wife is born on his birthday. There's a lot of Scorpios here. Robert F. Kennedy Sr., born on his birthday. The Gettysburg Address, born on his birthday. So it's coming up. Neptune is trining the sun now for all of us, the visions and the blessing, and his son, too. So, you know, we were mentioning, like, in Doris Lessing's novel, Shikasta, you know, where everybody has a, you know, some crucial thing to contribute to the community, and at moments of moral complexity, you know, each person is off on their own, but the spirits are around them going, no, remember, not expediency, remember the thing, remember the brave good thing that you decided to do. So, just offering, you know, we see the path opening for Biden to address the Knesset, as the GOP had invited Bibi to address the right-wing Congress in America. Biden has earned the trust of Israeli people because he grieved. He met with the families of the hostages, and Bibi did not. The Israeli populace trusts, feels kinned with Biden more than Bibi. And what do we like seeing Israel liberated from? Israel born May 14th, 1948, with the sun at 23 Taurus, the Uranus transit, liberated from Bibi. Or in the dream, and feel free to jump in and out, Sean, in a conversing way, but if everything is us, it's like, well, what's the Bibi part of us? Right? Everything real and everything symbolic. And so it's not enough to just deal with the mere human. It's like, what does it represent in all of us? The outsourcing of authority to those who have no kinship or whose kinship receptors have been terribly, you know. So I like seeing Biden addressing the Knesset, just glide path. Having earned the trust because he grieved, the man knows grief. Hence, opportunity to go deep into grief. Grief across borders. Stupid cruelty recruits for Hamas, makes everyone less safe. Shared grief, kinship. Just putting out this for those who want, you know, to support this image. And if you don't, just go have a cup of kava tea or inhale some lemon balm. There we go. I like the headline for us to animate. Biden negotiates hostage release. Bombardment ceases. Food, medicine, water pour in. Organizing, may it be, the women, Palestinian women, Israeli women, you know, organizing a massive grief ritual in resonance with the wonderful work of Lillier, grieving must take place. A global grieving ritual, like, you know, and, you know, a rebuilding with hempcrete, you know, as is going on in the Ukraine, you know, Ukraine, major green rebuilding with hempcrete, repurposing of money. Let's just put desirable things on the table. You think, is this a good idea, Sean? Desirable things on the table.
I do. Although I think that as we send Biden to the Knesset, we need to make sure that he has first been in council with the wisest and most compassionate voices he trusts. Because what I see in him is that when he chooses compassion, when he feels into grief, he can be so deeply empathetic. And yet sometimes his imagination doesn't go beyond who he already identifies with. And so how do we let him identify equally with all the community of the grieving, with all who are suffering? And let that Biden who has sat in that way be the one who goes to the Knesset.
Yes, excellent. Because again, when we were speaking last night, you said it depends on which Biden shows up. And it's like, yes, that for all of us, right? For all of us, like, which part of us shows up and which part are we choosing to animate? And you'd mentioned that Obama has been particularly lucid and strong in this realm, a trusted friend. To see, well, the image for the moon right now, let's bring in everybody as angel carrying a harp, you know, and we go, right. And it's got a quintile to palace going, there's always another way. All war is a failure of imagination. Perspectives, and empathy, you know. And, you know, I just remember a really dark ayahuasca trip I had where I was taken inside somebody who exploded to do bad things. You know, I was right in there. And remember, it's, you know, pressure comes down from the atmosphere of cruelty and permission, which is drawing forth the worst of people now and for a while. So that's where we want to fill it and change it. You know, and the pressure comes down and explodes through thin membranes. People who have grief and grievance and understandably, like, and so it behooves us not under that immediate... You know, but I understood how that happens, how psychic psychotic explodes, right? And then for us, like, what can we do? And we want to, you know, waft into the atmosphere that which draws forth the, you know, miraculous. And then, you know, again, Pluto has dark humor too, you know, and I like, and Hamas is offered or sentenced to interviews with Piers Morgan, a terrible torment, you know, in perpetuity. And they many may implode. And those who survive the Piers Morgan travail to be offered, you know, haven in Qatar and a meditative retreat with a plate of psilocybe mushrooms and told it's not 108 virgins who greet martyrs, it's 108 angry vegans, right? So just let's, there we go, just move it. So, you know, to dissolve, to go, time to go backstage, you know, right wing, BB, terribly unpopular in Israel government, going over there, and wise, good Israeli, miraculous, good, rising to the occasion. And Hamas, right, the Palestinian people have been betrayed by Hamas as much as, you know, these all super complex, but it's like, dissolve that. We don't know how, but we're willing to conjure what, you know. And right. So then the moon trines Jupiter, right? Again, I like Daniel DiMario saying the moon in Capricorn's oldest image is the council of wise women dedicated to the next seven generations. We completely kind of can liberate the gender there. You know, why is, you know, anybody, right, dedicated, num, 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 and that what can we do? Well, everything. And the moon in the moon in Capricorn says, right, the inner, you know, can well magnetize outward opportunity to do real things. I have, you know, a wonderful ally in Lebanon. You know, we're connected in a number of ways. You know, but she's, I hear her voice too. You know, going, what, you know, metaphors, you know, not a, you know, what can we do? Anguish, what can we do? And it's like, right, to keep that in our hearts and to wonder what we can do to stop this carnage and to see, you know, I liked somebody in the dream. Oh, sorry, yes, you go.
I was going to say, and I think one of the things we need to do is reclaim the idea or reclaim the language and the concept of what is actually realistic and what is actually pragmatic. So the warmongers always claim that they are the realists and that they are being pragmatic. But I think that we can say that, well, okay, so you think bombing cities is pragmatic. Let's look at every time that people have bombed cities across history. And has that ever actually reduced the threat of rebellion or opposition from the people who you say you're trying to subdue? And we can say also to, I hear many of my comrades on the left saying, well, the Palestinians have a right to resistance and a right to armed resistance. It's like, well, okay, what if they do? Kidnapping and murdering civilians is not liberation, is not a liberation movement any more than bombing civilians is self-defense. Neither of these things are actually pragmatic. Neither of these things actually achieve the goals that we are told we need to accept that they are the only path to. So if we can say it's not pragmatic to choose something that you know will not work, then we can shift the entire conversation.
Right. And you know, as we've been, you know, again, that, so the thing, you know, about the invasion, the bombing and invasion of Al-Shifa Hospital, and, you know, going, we have proof, but we can't show you that Hamas was there. And you were saying, you know, there was like three rusty rifles that, and just, the whole thing is sketchy. But even if it were true, still, humans, you know, someone barges into your house and grabs your wife, and, you know, and you run in and you go, well, of course you shoot the wife. Yeah. It's like, no, we don't do that. You know, it's a deeper deal. Why, even if there were, that's just no justification, you know, into the cauldron. And the moon also has a 135 degree angle to Uranus, which is an awareness of danger degree, going, it's dangerous. And then the gliding to, you know, the blessings, the inner dedication that outward opportunity may unfurl for all of us, whether it's in small and large ways, because again, anything anywhere is everywhere. So, you know, I could feel just many small and large things in the tyranny of daily life right now, going, it's all one thing, which is why, you know, back to yourself, the lemon balm, whoops, where did it go? I think the cat just took, oh no, here it is. Whew. All right, the calamus, just to repeat, the calamus for voices, is that right? To burn through the fog. And the lemon balm to cool out hot reactive anger. That's good. And the falafel's cooking to remind us of beauty and kindness and spices.
And with the lemon balm, we have this beautiful pair of twins, in a sense, within the mint family of lemon balm and motherwort. And both are indicated when all of your blood is rushing upward and you are in a reactive place. And if in your reactive place you suddenly burst into hot tears, then motherwort's what will help to draw the heat and draw the blood and draw the awareness back down into the heart, where you can be held, felt, where you can be held and mothered by the great everything. But if your overheated state is when the blood rushes up to your head, you suddenly lash out, then lemon balm helps gather it back down so that you can go back into your heart and be responsive. So these two plants of the mint family, both so beautiful, but working together according to what is the response that we fall into, that is the hot, intense, reactive response that doesn't allow us to get all the way down to our true response.
And we speak often of mugwort for boundaries and dreaming, and I like that as a Saturn Pisces, safe enough to dream, safe enough to dream. And again, wafting this, you know, for self and others and all in need, safe enough to dream. And you said it also is for carrying the vision back into the world. I love that. Yeah.
Yes. So we here we go again with reaching for what's actually pragmatic. And we think about almost every great creative advance that's happened in known history has begun with someone's dream or someone's vision, someone's ability to enter into that that state outside their ordinary consciousness. But so often that just wafts away before anyone has a chance to bring it into reality. And so I learned from Matthew Wood that mugwort, this wonderful liminal plant that's at the border between the wild and the domesticated, yes, can help those who are too bound by this reality to let go into dreaming, but also helps those who are dreamy and those whose heads are up in the clouds all the time to bring the vision from the clouds raining down into manifest reality. And whenever I'm working with musicians and artists and writers who love cannabis and get creative ideas, but then forget their creative ideas before they can actually create art, I always have them just sprinkle a little bit of mugwort in with their cannabis, and then all the art finds expression.
Oh, that's great. Yes, no, the practical, micro, macro, everything, take the vision back. And then just somebody in our dream council that just started, you can still join coyotenetworknews.com. But Chris Kassler sent in, she said, you know, thinking about the new moon Sabian symbol right behind us in Scorpio, soldiers deserting because their hearts are no longer tolerate harm or cruelty. And she said, she's been contemplating the lives of those who refused illegal orders, right? Just everywhere. And and you've often brought up, you know, the Chechen war began to end when the Russian women marched into Chechnya to take their men home, their sons and their husbands. But she, Chris mentions Hugh Thompson Jr., Glenn Adriata, and Lawrence Colburn, who blocked American officers and enlisted soldiers in Company C, 1st Battalion, and others from killing more villagers in My Lai. And she says, you know, Vasily Arkhipov, Russian Soviet naval officer who prevented Soviet nuclear torpedo launch during Cuban Missile Crisis. And she says, also thinking of Abu Ihsan Ali ibn Nafi, better known as Zeryab, singer, poet, teacher, composer, lute player, also polymath during the Umayyad court of Cordoba when Jews, Christians, and Muslims lived in tolerant cohabitation. And then she goes on with other great recommendations that are, again, useful. And the trickster in the court, I think it's Philip II, you know, but he decides to do a pogrom on the Jews and that all Jews must wear a particular kind of hat. And the court trickster comes in with three such hats. And the king says, what are these for? And he says, one for thee, one for me, and one for the Grand Inquisitor, Nuncle, reminding the king that everybody had Jewish blood, right? Everybody. It's mm-hmm. all mingled, right? You know, again, tricked, liberated from the trick of separation back into we're all in this thing together, you know, and it is confounding. And then for us who can feel, you know, in the atmosphere, like, but but nothing compared to those, you know, in Israel, my, you know, friend who lost two cousins to the murder on October 7th, Vladimir Putin's birthday, October 7th, he loves doing things on his birthday. October 7th is when the Kurds were betrayed by Trump as a gift to Putin. Just put that there, you know. But, you know, he said, people ask him, like, is your family safe? And he goes, no one's safe. No one's safe. And so for all, again, all safety embrace, you know, and that the bombardment, when people go, ceasefire, you know, what's the way? You know, you got to deal with Hamas. And it's like, no, Hamas, whatever Hamas represents in all of us feeds on the bombardment, you know, as a recruiting, just to have that as clear. And I think the everywhere, the grieving rituals of kinship and the art and songs and beauty that grief artfully expressed becomes a sacrament of kinship, like, oh, we are with you, we are with you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyway, you know, right, dangerous psychotic crackpots and our ineffective response to tyranny was my notes. But handing it back to you, mothers and rabbis, prophets, the rabbi, you know, I think that was you wanting to bring that in our
yes.
half minute here. Well, I hand it to you. Yeah.
Yes. Well, to say that in both Islam and Judaism, there is a history of prophets and rabbis and imams who have spoken difficult and important truths. And when I think about who has the ears of the ones who are doing the fighting, it is their mothers and their rabbis and their imams who have their ears. And so may what's most true and most loving in their traditions rise up through them. And a last bit of pragmatism is I hear so much debate about which people are the real indigenous people of this land. And it's a moot point because everybody is there and we have to figure out how everybody who is there is going to move forward together. And yes, everybody has their own beautiful claims going back. But we are here now and we need to move forward.
Yes, yes, yes. Tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. Thank you so much, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, and thank you always, Kirsten Thomas, and we will reconvene next week. Thank you, Tina.